We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
It's game time on Roto-Viz Radio.
What's up, Roto-Viz?
Welcome into the Roto-Viz Fantasy Football Show. I'm Dave Caban alongside Curtis Patrick. We are two of the owners here at Roto-Viz. I was feeling a little under the weather last night, so we did not record an episode on Monday. It's Tuesday evening. I am looking right now at Mr. Curtis Patrick on StreamYard. We're going to play some games tonight. I'm looking forward to it. It's that perfect time of year, Curtis, where I do not need to run heating in my house and it is still comfortable inside, can save a couple of dollars. We normally get a couple of weeks like this during the year where you're nice and comfortable. So I'm happy about that. How are you doing?
Oh yeah, man. It's been great. Like sleeping weather. Yep. Right? I mean, I wish I got more of it, but it's been great sleeping weather. This is one of the really exciting times of year. Like just thinking about the time of life that we're both in. I know our kids are slightly different ages, but you have kind of the end of the school year, you know, all the excitement buzzing from the kiddos about the summer to come, and some of the sports seasons are ending. And so as parents, we're thinking about, all right, it's maybe two less trips to a soccer field per week for the next 2 months or something like that. And, you know, yeah, it is nice. And we are just, I mean, we are slamming the best ball drafts. All of the dynasty rookie drafts are pretty much, you know, completed at this point. And so I just feel like I'm totally into 2022 fantasy season, like just rocking and rolling, man. I've got a bunch of FFPC best ball tournament drafts going. I think I'm seven deep now, really liking some of these rosters. I feel like I see the board just exactly the way I need to see it. People are overdrafting a lot of middling tight ends, like in the first three and four rounds. Really fun to see a lot of values there. And then the underdog best ball mania three has just been really fun. I think I'm about 20 deep in that tournament. And different values on that platform than what I'm seeing in FFPC. So really, really enjoying the analysis on both of those games by some of the great analysts on the site. Plenty on rotoviz.com breaking down each of those contests over the last 2 weeks. And I know some of the things that we're going to hit tonight in these mini games that you got for us, Dave, are going to help people make some decisions in key areas of the draft.
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, it is all on now. It's a marathon now, basically, for the next couple of months until the season starts. But why don't you hit me with a drop, Curtis, for an FFPC stat attack? So, of quarterbacks being drafted in the first 11 rounds of FFPC best ball leagues, Tua Tagovailoa, as we talked about before, has had the biggest drop in the last 20 days. And as a result, we have Mr. Tyreek Hill chiming in, talking about how accurate of a quarterback Tua is. We will see why this ties in here later. I will say last year, he did have a strong air yards conversion percentage. Did pretty good in our advanced stats explorer at avoiding sacks. Of course, a lot of that came on the heels of a low ADOT. We will be talking a little bit more later on about Tua and a couple of other quarterbacks, but it was interesting to see His ADP taking a pretty significant shift in this time of year where there's really not a whole lot happening in the news cycle. But that is today's FFPC stat attack. Make sure that you head over to the FFPC for all of your season long, your dynasty needs, best ball leagues. You want to play it, they have it. Let's get into these games, Curtis. All right. The first thing that we are going to play is one of these doesn't belong. I am going to rattle off three names of players at the same position that have relatively similar ADPs. And Curtis is going to tell me which one of those players stands out from the pack. I have given him creative license here. So some of these questions are hard. So he, you know, can take a outside of the box approach here. First group Hunt. Of players.
That was fun them all.
That might be a little right too far. To yeah, a little too far outside the box. All right. We got right. Dallas Goedert, Zach Ertz, and Dawson Knox. Now, I will say that there is a bit of a difference here in the overall all ADP between Goddard coming in around 60 and Ertz and Knox, who are both in the 80s. Which one of these three tight ends does not belong?
A couple different ways you could go here. I'll go with the way that I think is the it's probably the right one, because it's not assuming like injuries would occur, even if a player, you know, maybe is a little injury prone. I'm going to say Dallas Goedert doesn't belong. I think, you know, the team adding AJ Brown, it certainly pushes Goedert down, you know, a peg in the competition for targets ladder. And so, you know, Ertz is looking like, you know, as long as he's definitively better than Trey McBride this summer, and as long as Kyler Murray shows up to play ball, I mean, Ertz actually figures to be even busier, at least early in the season, while DeAndre Hopkins is out. And Dawson Knox, you know, I think that team's pass catching core is in transition as well. I think they're going to be a little bit less veteran heavy. Cole Beasley is gone. What type of role will Manny Sanders have if brought back? You know, will Gabe Davis be able to actually lock it down? I mean, I think Dawson Knox's role at worst would remain the same. Goddard seems to be the one that would suffer, and he's also the most expensive of the three. So I understand like the appeal of stacking him with Hurts, because it's, you know, it's cheaper to do than to chase, you know, Devontae Smith or AJ Brown. So I get some of that, but I think, you know, his outlook in 2022 is headed the opposite direction, at least, you know, by my napkin math there.
Yeah. You know, this was one, when I first looked at it, I wasn't really sure how to approach it. I was kind of going back and forth, but as I listened to you talk about it, I think Goddard here is the player to highlight, because what I'm thinking about when I look at his name in comparison to tight ends that come after, he's kind of out there in no man's land. Right. Sometimes you will go after a position because the players that are available at the other positions don't really provide much value to your team. But I think this is a case where the amount of separation that you see in ADP between Goddard and those that follow him does not reflect the actual separation that's there. So he looks to me like a player that's easy to pass on this year. Yeah. And I think that also if I'm looking at the other options, Zach Ertz could be the other choice here, because as you said, I feel like there's the most defined role. So there's a couple of ways you could have gone here, but I like the direction that you took it. So I think where we've landed here, we are still big fans of Jalen Hurts, but his tight end Dallas Goedert, we are probably not big fans of heading into 2022.
Yeah, and let's just look briefly before we go on to the next position. Let's look briefly above these three and below these three. You know, immediately above Goddard in ADP, you have TJ Hawkinson, Dalton Schultz, and George Kittle, all who have shown, at least in short order, that they can be target hogs in those offenses. And I think when you look at Goddard, Ertz, and Knox, I mean, Ertz is the one that I think if one of those three would approach the target volume, the raw target volume of any of those tight ends taken above, it would be him. And if we look below at Pat Freiermuth, Mike Gesicki, Albert Okwuegbunam, Goddard to me is much more similar to those players in terms of the role projection and the potential passing volume in the offense. I mean, Freiermuth, you know, he's battling with Deontay Johnson. and, you know, whatever combination of the really talented wide receivers that are going to potentially be in play for wide receiver two there. And Najee Harris was also very involved as a pass catcher last year. Gesicki, obviously, you know, competing with Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, and Chase Edmonds, and Okwara Ibuhim with Judy, Hamler, Sutton. And then, you know, two talented pass catching backs there, and Melvin Gordon and Javonte Williams. So to me, Goddard's situation is just so much closer to those guys. I mean, I think he's being grossly overdrafted.
Yep, perfectly fair. All right, so let's continue along here. This is going to be a hard one, I think. I think there's kind of a default answer here.
I see the highlights.
This is wide receivers.
I'm punting this one.
We have T. Higgins at an ADP of 31.2, Keenan Allen an ADP of 32.3, and Jalen Waddle with an ADP of 37.5. If you do not have a clear direction in which you want to take this, I kind of have a question that we could use to discuss these three players.
Well, you're giving me creative license, so I think the easy out here would be Jalen Waddle because of the level of quarterback talent. Mm-hmm. You know, I think when I think about, you know, a quarterback who could potentially, you know, battle for top five or even top three fantasy status, and the type of offense that's being played, having more of a downfield element to it. I mean, we've seen it from Burrow. We've seen it from Herbert. And so to be a primary or secondary weapon in those offenses where the quarterback's going to help you get some of it and you're not going to have to get it all on your own. To me, that is a little bit of a line of demarcation. And, you know, it's easier to project the roles for Higgins and Allen because there's more stability in those wide receiver cores. Waddle, you know, we have, I mean, Miami added everybody. I mean, they brought in Tyreek Hill. They signed Cedric Wilson. They drafted Eric Ezukanma. They brought in Chase Edmonds. There's a lot going on and a new coach. Yep. So to me, that's a pretty easy way to solve this one.
Yeah, so the question that I was kind of feeling like we could throw into the mix here is, when you look at these three players, I think if I ask the question, which player has the least upside, a knee-jerk reaction might be Keenan Allen, just because at this point he's old. But really, when you think about it, I think he's still he's better positioned to be the focal point still of his wide receiver core, even with Mike Williams there, in comparison to Waddle, who now has Tyreek Hill there. And then when you look at what the Bengals offense did last year, you can spin easily a story for Higgins having more upside, you know, than the other two, if you feel like going that way. Just thoughts on that?
I mean, Allen's definitely the most solid. I mean, he has the most established floor. I mean, he's got five straight seasons. I'm looking at our NFL Stat Explorer. So I'm only looking at the last five seasons because it's, you know, that's the relevant sample that shows up in our tool.
Yep.
249 or more PPR raw scored the last five seasons. You know, last year he was eighth in targets, sixth in receptions, 11th overall at the position in PPR, and 12th in PPR per game, sixth in expected points per game. I just think you know, I understand that Mike Williams took a little bit of a step forward and they paid him. But the type of ball that Allen plays, like, yes, I understand people are saying that he's getting a little older. I mean, since when has that, you know, mattered dramatically for a primary slot receiver? I mean, I don't know. Like, he's never been the most athletic of guys. Like, this is a Landry, Thielen, you know, it's a different type of situation. So that doesn't really worry me when I think about Waddle. You know, the big plays can be a little bit fluky and he's getting pushed down that wide receiver chart. And then with Higgins too, you know, will Chase really, like, is he going to become a Julio Jones level talent that's getting the 1800 receiving yards, you know, every single year and really holding down that secondary receiver? And then, you know, we have Tyler Boyd there still too. And Joe Mixon taking a step forward, you know, last year. I think Higgins, to me, feels like he has maybe a slightly higher ceiling from a touchdown scoring perspective than Allen, but Allen feels the safest to me. I mean, I don't know. I know that we want to be drafting players that, you know, probably figure to have a higher ADP next year. You know, I get it. Like, I get the reasons that people would prefer Waddle or Higgins here, but I've been taking Keenan Allen in the third round, you know, all off season. Like, he's probably one of my most owned players in the post NFL draft, best ball tournaments on both sites.
Yeah, I agree with that. This feels like, you know, it might be the last hurrah possibly that we see Allen sneaking his way into the wide receiver one ranks. If you think that, that's fine, but I don't think that it precludes you from going after him this season, especially in comparison to some of the players that are in that range. He's a player that still makes sense to have exposure to. So the last players that we will talk about within this game, we will turn our attention towards running back. This is another hard one here, man. Saquon Barkley, James Conner, and Breece Hall.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah, it's a really hard one. Barkley's going, you know, the better part of a round earlier than Connor, and like a full round earlier than Breece Hall. There's question marks about all three of them. You know, with Barkley, it's really about the health, because you like Brian Daboll coming in. I mean, I think Brian Daboll will reestablish Barkley as a primary receiving weapon on the team. So it's really just the health question, I think.
Yep.
With Connor, it's also a health question. And he didn't have nearly the receiving, you know, role that we would, and we wouldn't expect him to either. Nearly the receiving role that I would figure for Barkley or even for Hall. I mean, Connor was the RB5 last year, but just 35th at the position in targets. Now, you know, Edmonds leaving is one thing, but with Keontae Ingram, with, you know, Benjamin, you know, other backs that have more of that receiving skill set. I mean, Connor gave us, you know, workman-like receiving production in his years in Pittsburgh. So it's not that he, you know, couldn't do it in maybe an ugly fashion, but I think both of the backs that figure to back him up probably better in that category. So, you know, you also got Kyler Murray running around back there, a little bit less likely to check it down anyway, versus quarterbacks in these other teams. Breece Hall, you know, all of Blair Andrews' awesome work over the years. You know, you really want to get these backs, you know, in the first year or two of their career, when they're going to be hyper efficient and, you know, and when they really bust out. So yeah, this one's really tough. In some ways, Connor is like the most solid bet here, but of these three, I'd fade him of the three. I think Breece Hall could potentially end up being underdrafted, you know, by a full round and a half. I mean, you know, we could look back at the end of the season and say that, you know, you really should have been going in the Javonte Williams range, or maybe even higher. And, you know, with Barkley at this point, the physical specimen that he is, I think there's reason to believe that there's reason to bet and, you know, take that calculated bet that he is going to be fully healthy. And, you know, I think Brian Daboll will get whatever it may be. He'll get the best out of Daniel Jones and the rest of the supporting cast in New York. So I'm going to say James Conner stands out for those reasons of these three. I'm really interested to hear your take, because it is a confusing group, and in many ways that it feels like the tier break is after that as well. Like with Akers, Montgomery, Gibson, and Zeke, I don't see like the ceilings of all those players. Just it feels like the three that you've highlighted, those ceilings are a little bit higher. I mean, we literally just saw Connor, you know, finish as the RB5 last year. And I wouldn't figure Akers, Montgomery, or Gibson or Elliott to have that type of ceiling this year. So yeah, what are your thoughts here, man?
Yeah. So how I would approach this is I would say that Breece Hall is the one that stands out because he's the one that I am the most interested in drafting. This goes back to Blair's work that you have alluded to, because of these backs, in my personal opinion, if one of them is going to ball out and far exceed where they're being selected, it's going to be Breece Hall. We've seen that season for James Conner. I don't think that it can happen again. I think he could still be a good pick, but I'm not expecting him to be able to sneak his way into that top 1 through 6 running back ranking this year. For Saquon Barkley, I still think it's less likely. You know, I think his heyday has come and gone from a fantasy perspective. So with that section of the draft, if I'm drafting a running back, Breece Hall is the one that I want. So that's how I would go ahead and kind of break this question apart.
So you've got that round 2, round 3 turn as a small little RB dead zone.
Yes.
I'm guessing then. And I'm opting for the wide receivers there.
That's assuming though. That's assuming like if I'm drafting one team, right? Like if for best ball, Barkley will be sprinkled in there. James Conner will be in there. But if I was playing just one or two redraft leagues, that's, you know, how things would go.
Yeah. And just for context, I mean, I talked about the players below these backs, but if you haven't started drafting yet, where these players are going, I mean, Barkley's going just after, within two picks of, you know, by ADP, Alvin Kamara, Leonard Fournette, Aaron Jones, and Nick Chubb. A player that I've been taking in the second, and then whenever he slides into third, it's an automatic. I've been getting a little bit more turned on to Aaron Jones in this corridor. You know, just thinking about the absence of receiving talent in Green Bay, will we see a little bit more work for him there? You know, with those high value touches and Dylan maybe, you know, eating the yardage between the 20s this year. So I'm pretty in on Aaron Jones. We've already seen him score touchdowns among, you know, the best in the league and earlier in his career. So that's just I'm just adding that in. I know it's not part of the game, but I just wanted to mention him.
Well, you know what, Curtis, I think that might set us up nicely for the next question. We're going to try to hit these a little bit quicker. So I'm going to give us a lightning round sound effect. Okay, we're calling this roster trade cut. This is for redraft purposes. We're going to say that you inherit a redraft roster that you have to manage through the 2022 season. On this roster, you have Aaron Jones, Nick Chubb, Antonio Gibson. One of them you can trade, see what you can get. Another guy you're definitely going to keep on the roster. Another one you are going to cut. Sounds like you want to roster Aaron Jones out of this group, and then we will see what you do from there.
Yeah, I'll just go in the order you have them listed here. Roster Aaron Jones, trade Nick Chubb, cut Antonio Gibson. Gibson's backfield got more crowded, and you know, new quarterback, new wide receiver talent, and he hasn't shown us that elite ceiling that we were hoping for early, so I'm going to take the established backs here.
Yep, no disagreement from me. Pressing along, this one I think could be a little bit more interesting. Now, this is a trio of wide receivers with ADPs between 115 through around 120, and they are Christian Kirk, Chase Claypool, and Kadarius Toney.
Oh man.
And this is a very real decision point, right? Because you come to, in a lot of drafts, like groupings of wide receivers that look like this trio.
Yeah. And then, I mean, for frame of reference, I'm not pulling the trigger on at the current ADPs on these guys at all. I had a lot of Tony in the pre NFL draft, best ball exercises I was going through, but you know, now I'm typically on quarterback, running back, or maybe my tight end 2 in this area. So really avoiding, I'm trying to be done with wide receiver by this time in drafts typically. So Christian Kirk, most solid role, Chase Claypool, quarterback controversy this year, and new talent added in the draft. Kadarius Toney, exciting new coach, questions about his motivation. Okay, I'm gonna roster Kadarius Toney, trade Christian Kirk, and cut Chase Claypool.
Yep, that's exactly how I would have gone for that one. And real quickly, Curtis, remind everybody, if they were interested in getting Kadarius Toney on a best ball team this year, one way that maybe they could do that.
Oh yeah. I mean, you could do it on Underdog is one way that you could do it. you could enter Best Ball Mania 3. You go to underdogfantasy.com, use promo code RotoViz, deposit up to $100, and that deposit up to $100 is going to be matched dollar for dollar. So go to underdogfantasy.com, download the app, use promo code RotoViz with that first deposit. And yeah, you too could make a decision between Toney, Claypool, and Kirk in your first draft.
Okay, so at the top of the show, we quickly talked about Tua Tagovailoa. I am looking at quarterbacks now. That my note here, Curtis, should say 110 through 121 is the ADP, not 10 through 20, not 10 through 121, because any of these players would be ridiculous in that range.
My brain filled it in.
Yes, yeah. I appreciate that. So you got Tua, Justin Fields, and Matt Ryan. Which one of these guys are you going to roster? Who are you going to trade, and who are you going to cut?
Yeah, man. I mean, I'm going to cut Matt Ryan, so let's just get that out of the way.
Yep.
You know, it's pretty tricky. You know, I think Fields has higher upside than Tua, but probably lower lows as well. I mean, the surrounding talent around him is really questionable. Both of these guys, you know, have new offensive regimes coming in. I mean, Tua has every reason not to fail. He's just so propped up right now. And I think what you could get in trade from Fields, I mean, with Tua having the drop, you know, the tanking ADP after just, you know, one bad throw showing up on video, I think you can get more for Fields. So I'm going to roster Tua, trade Fields, and cut Ryan.
Yes. So I'm happy about this because I led off with Tua, right? Because after I was looking through these questions, this one feels like the question that might have us going a direction that would not seem obvious at first. And I think that you nailed basically the direction that my mind was going with. You know, and the other thing I was going to add here, obviously with these players, if you miss, it's not that big of a deal, but I do think that you could find yourself in a situation where it's easy enough to just trot Tua out there week after week, you know, probably not going to be the most explosive option, but probably going to be a quarterback that you can get by with. So it's interesting to see Tua maintaining here on our roster, and Matt Ryan, we have reached the point where he is just getting cut. Oh, that point might even have come a while back.
Yeah, I mean, putting the horseshoe on his helmet doesn't really change anything. I mean, it's Jonathan Taylor time up there. Yeah.
And I think we actually talked about it last week that his range of outcomes projection for 2022, and we'll be talking about range of outcomes in our show that drops on Friday, was pretty heinous. So my point was, you know, if you wanted to start to get excited because of the move, historically, we're at the point where you're past peak Matt Ryan, and I didn't think that there was enough to really change the story there. So
wanted to make that question murder for me, you would have thrown Kirk Cousins in there instead. That, my brain would have exploded because in that range, I feel like, you know, Cousins could maybe be this year's Matt Stafford.
There's no question about it. You roster Kirk Cousins. I wrote about this like weekly last year until I felt like there was no sense in beating that dead horse anymore. Kirk Cousins should have been on rosters going into the season, and he should have been on picked up every single week that he was available. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. How do you really feel, Dave? I mean,
you like that. That was Kirk Cousins, right? You like that. Yeah. You like that.
That's as fiery as you'll get out of Dave Caban. Like Tua, Fields, Cousins at that point of draft, like those are like the last three guys that I feel comfortable only having a build where I only select three quarterbacks. Like if one of those guys is my QB2, I'm willing to bet on the upside of Tua, Fields, or Cousins, as long as I had, you know, selected, you know, an earlier QB at that point as well. So just another little draft nugget.
Thank you for listening to the RotoViz Fantasy Football Show. Send us questions at rvffshow@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at DaveCabinFF and at CPatrickNFL. Leave us a voicemail at 978-615-9214. And make sure to rate, review, and subscribe.